Cue the fancy intro music. This is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom gives you the tips, tools, and resources you need to define and achieve success on your own terms, so you can make great money doing what you love and have the time and freedom to enjoy it. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Lisa Robin Young. Let's get started. If you're a person of a certain age, you'll remember the Pepsi Challenge. It was a blind taste test pitting Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Hosted in malls and stores across the country, people were asked to taste both colas and decide for themselves which tasted better. Well, Consumer Reports did a more formal version of this taste test in 2007, this time with McDonald's coffee and Starbucks. The Consumer Reports coffee taste test showed that McDonald's plain black coffee edged out Starbucks and other fast food chains and had the best tasting black coffee of them all. I don't drink much black coffee. White and sweet just like my man is how I like my coffee. But I'm even more into flavored coffee that's more dessert than beverage. Back in 2009, a more informal Starbucks taste test was held to look at some of the flavored coffees that they have. Bit less scientific, but still a blind taste test. And the result? McDonald's wins again. But here's the point that I thought was interesting. Everybody still preferred the Starbucks environment, even though the McDonald's coffee is better. McDonald's charges less for their comparably and purportedly better flavored coffees than the Seattle coffee giant, but people happily pay more because of the experience of shopping at Starbucks. This is a great illustration of how pricing is subjective and based, at least in part, on the story you're trying to tell. A couple of times each year, I host our Cash Flow Creator Workshop, which is coming up at the end of April. And in that workshop, we dig deep into your business model, how you're making money in your business. And one of the key pieces of that puzzle is your pricing. The right pricing makes all the difference. We've done several episodes on pricing in the past, 2 in season 4, 1 in season 5, and we'll probably do some more in the future because it's just that dang important. Pricing is nuanced. Pricing tells a story. It's why you can buy a cup of coffee for $5 or $2 and they might taste almost identical, but you'll have completely different experiences for $2 or $5, and your pricing needs to reflect that. There are also a lot of feels that come up around pricing, and today I want to tackle one of the most common concerns I hear from entrepreneurs with an existing book of business. How do I raise my rates so that I don't lose my current clients or come off looking like I'm only in it for the money? Now, I won't bury the lead. No one can guarantee that you won't lose clients. You might. And it doesn't matter what you charge. There will always be someone who thinks that you're charging too much. But, and this is important, the right people will stick around. This episode, I'm going to give you some clear indications that you're due for a price bump, how to raise those rates, and walk you through some mindset stuff that might come up around retaining existing clients, whether or not you should raise their rates too, or keep them the same. And incidentally, if you want to join us for the Cashflow Creator Workshop, you need to hop over to the website and register for the Rising Tide. It's free. And that'll put you on our email list and get you all the details about the upcoming workshop. But more importantly, go get registered so that you can download this week's pricing workbook. Head to creativefreedomshow.com, click on the Rising Tide dashboard link, and look for Season 6, Episode 14. This week's downloadable is already waiting for you. So, as I mentioned earlier, pricing is not a new topic for this show. Back in season 4, I did an episode where I shared 11 signs that you need to raise your rates. And most of those reasons circled around the under-earning problem. And I'll post a link to it in the show notes and check it out if you're feeling like under-earning might be the root cause of your pricing problems. Today, though, let's look at 5 other things that might be signaling it's time for a price bump. The first one is a capacity issue. You're so busy serving clients that you don't have time to focus on your own business work. And this is what I've run up against several times in the past couple of years. The nature of the Pay for Results Incubator is that I get my hands dirty in your business. We sit together and we look at what your goals are. And from there, we decide what tasks need to be taken off your plate so that you're freed up to do the higher value activities of your business. And more than a few times during the era of the pandemic that shall not be named, I found myself doing the hands-on work for my clients at the expense of my own business. Part of why there was a long hiatus in the show was that there simply wasn't enough of me to go around. I was working on client projects. And if I wanted to have a life, that meant I didn't have time to create new content for my show. And my show and marketing suffered as a result. Thankfully, the nature of the incubator is that the better my clients do, the more we make. So financially, it wasn't so bad. But from a visibility and capacity standpoint, I found myself doing too little of the things I wanted to be doing, and too much of the things that could have been handed off to a team member if I'd had the right folks in the right roles. The pandemic that shall not be named saw us lose my longtime VA support early on. I got by with some temporary help while I looked for a replacement, and then we had to onboard the new team members, one of whom didn't work out the way we'd hoped. Now, I was determined to keep things running as smoothly as possible for my clients, so that meant I was stepping up to do those tasks until we could find the right fit. It took some time, and we've had some hiccups along the way, but now we're at a point where I feel confident in what my team can handle, and I can step back from doing so much of that work and shift my focus back to doing the work for my company. Believe it or not, this show is a big part of my work week. Creating the script, researching the stories, rehearsing, recording, and getting things ready for the team. All of that falls to me. I have help with the production and the ideation of the episodes, but the actual creation of them is all me. And I like it that way. I like being able to sit here with you and talk through these issues that I see time and again with creative entrepreneurs. And I want to keep doing it for a long time to come. So that means having the capacity to be able to do that. So if I want that time and space available, I need to be able to hire support to take those tasks off my plate. That means a rate increase. When we first launched the incubator in 2016, I can't believe I'm saying this, I was charging $50 a month as the base retainer. And in the past, the percentage and base retainer were some kind of convoluted sliding scale magic with a buffet of options that you could pick and choose from. So you could be paying $50 a month and 20%, or you could be paying $300 a month and 5%, depending on where you were at in your business. And when it was just me, I could do that. But over time, I recognized that wasn't sustainable. It could take 90 days from application to onboarding, which meant people had to wait a long time to get help. Plus, we didn't get paid until onboarding, so there was a lot of waiting for money to arrive. And I've played with several different ways to deal with this over the years, and some of it worked, while some of it didn't. And what I discovered, and I think I've shared this before, is that there are a couple of kinds of people who come to the incubator in the first place. And I didn't know that when I first rolled this program out because it was new. I had no idea who would eventually come to get the most benefit from it. I had an idea, but it took years of seeing who actually showed up to get clarity on who this program is really wired for. And once I figured that out, I could make some changes. I realized that there were really only two kinds of folks showing up to this program. Self-starting DIY types who need a clear path to success, but not much in the way of hand-holding, the show me what I need to do and let me get to it kind of people. Those folks didn't use a lot of their support time, but they used their coaching time on an as-needed basis for when they got stuck or needed some specific advice about something. And they also got a lot out of the training on topics that were relevant to wherever they were in their business journey. That was one kind of person. The other were the folks who really resonated with the pay-for-results concept. They wanted a second set of hands to help them inside their business, and maybe they had been burned before, so they wanted some kind of invested interest in the company, and they would use their support time as well as their coaching time, and they wanted that percentage of sales to help manage cash flow. I tried other options in the past few years, but these were the folks that were showing up consistently. So I've made changes to encourage those folks and still help with my capacity issues. So this month, we're rolling out a lower priced DIY tier that's more curriculum based. And I've created a fixed retainer rate for the pay for results folks. The base retainer is now the same for everyone. And the percentage of sales goes down in each of the first three contract years. If you choose to stay in the program after that, then the base retainer goes up, but the percentage stays the same. That's what's different. And I've also done away with a cafeteria style offering. Now everybody gets the same benefits, and it's up to them to make use of them. Establishing fixed rates and fixed offerings wasn't something I was comfortable with in the early years of the program because I wasn't confident that the offer and the audience fit were right. That's an important thing to figure out. And now after years of running this program, I am very clear who this program is for and who it best serves. And I also have a different offer now, the Star Power Mastermind, for folks who are at a different level. And I didn't have that before. And because I didn't have it, I felt compelled to give those folks more flexibility in the offering. But now, I don't even need to show them the incubator because they're beyond it already. And I didn't have that clarity before. I thought, well, anybody could use the incubator. Not true. And I wasn't taking my own advice about nothing is perfect for everybody. But there you go. Now I have that clarity. And restructuring in this way allows us to serve more people. And it frees up my capacity, my time, to focus on the higher value tasks in my business. And that's the same thing that we do for our clients in the incubator. Oh, what a concept. Another reason to raise your rates is that you've got a lot of demand or a lengthy wait list for your offers. Raising your rates will necessarily reduce the number of people who are ready, willing, and able to pay those rates. And if you're a service provider, raising your rates gives you more financial runway so that you can serve fewer people and still have the same quality of life for yourself. You can charge 10 people $100 an hour or charge 5 people $200 an hour. You'll still have the same amount of income, but you'll have more time because you're not interfacing with so many people. Likewise, if you've honed your skills, gotten more training, more experience, or improved your offering in some other way, it probably makes sense to raise your rates too. There's an inherent cost in improvement. If you've applied for a certification or completed a training, that's an investment in product improvement, even if the product, so to speak, is you. Even teachers, some of the worst paid and undervalued employees in the world, know that. When they get an advanced degree, they deserve a higher rate of pay. It's baked into the pay scales at most educational institutions. If you've got a 4-year degree and no teaching experience, you're going to be paid significantly less than someone with an advanced degree or someone with an advanced degree and decades of experience. That experience, that training has value. They know it, their educational institution knows it, and it's baked into the way teachers get paid and earn their raises. It's still nowhere near enough for everything that they go through, though, just to be clear. But I digress. If you're not raising your rates enough, either because you've made a product improvement or for any other reason, then you're probably going to start feeling resentment. And that's the fifth sign. When you start to feel resentment towards your work or your clients, it's probably because you know in your gut they're not paying you enough. If you ever hear yourself saying, "They don't pay me enough for this crap," that's a clue. But let's say, okay, you've already started seeing these signs, these or any others. Or maybe you know that what you're charging now isn't going to be enough to help you hit your income goal for the year or the month or the quarter or whatever, and you want to raise your rates, but you're not sure how to do it. You've got some questions. Well, here are some answers. Now, assuming you've got an audience match for your offers, and that can be a big assumption, so make sure you've got that on lock. But if you've got an audience match, then take a look at what's going on around you. I have a colleague who quoted a price for a graphic design project, and her client was super enthusiastic about the price and said she'd be back with a lot more work for her. Now, my colleague was excited at first, only to discover that her rate was significantly lower than the going rate in the industry for the kind of work that she was doing. And that's when she felt a bit resentful. But she also knew she had an opportunity to raise her rates for the next design project and wasn't sure how to go about doing it since she had just quoted for this project at that original rate. So that's the first step to raising your rates. Take a pulse check on your industry. What are the folks who serve the same audience as you or are doing similar work as you pricing their offers at? Now, this is not an exercise in comparisonitis. It is meant to give you a ballpark. And make sure you're not undercharging for your work to create a baseline or a benchmark. What are the general or average prices that folks are charging? What story do their brands, their messaging, and their services tell in relation to their pricing? Are they positioning themselves as a Walmart or a Tiffany's, a McDonald's or a Starbucks? Once you have their ballparks, you get to decide if that's a park you want to play in. Where does your offer stand in relation to theirs? Are you better than they are? If so, adjust your pricing upward accordingly. Next, assess your current clients. And remember that no matter what the price, there's always people who will think it is going to be too expensive. But your right people, especially your existing customers, will be understanding about the need to increase your rates. In some circumstances, it may make sense to have legacy pricing for existing clients. For example, my current incubator and A Club clients have a price lock. That means, regardless of what I charge in the future, their rate is locked based on when they started the program. Now, I have one client who is still paying the founding member rate in A Club because they've been with me from the beginning of that program. And when we fully merge it into incubator next month, they've still got legacy pricing. So they're getting all these added benefits for that old legacy pricing. But if they ever leave the group, then they're going to pay the current rate if they opt to return in the future. That's how that works. Offering legacy pricing is useful, especially if it's a small percentage of your customer base. Sometimes, though, you've made changes that make legacy pricing impractical, and you need to raise even those rates. I've been there. And I had a client that was raising rates from like $125 an hour to $450 an hour. Now, that's a pretty big bump if your clients aren't ready for it. So my client offered a stepped price increase. Clients paid their current rate for 3 months, and when they were ready to buy their next package, they were stepped up to $175 and then to $350. And that was the new legacy pricing for their current clients. Still a discount from what new folks would pay, but a persistent discounted rate that allowed them to not feel resentful every time they were working with legacy clients. Now, did a few people fall off? Yeah. But they were people my client wasn't thrilled about working with anyway. So that was a win-win. And if you're worried about financial accessibility, as my client was, tiered price increases help soften the blow, so to speak. And it gives clients a chance to budget for the changes rather than slamming them with a big uptick all at once. Surprise! Next month the rates are going up! Woo! One last way to raise your rates is to assess your offers. Could you split your one service into two or three different tiers so that you can scale back at the current price point and offer more at the second or then the third price point? Could you simply just scale back the amount you do currently and add services a la carte? As a seller, offering packages is sexy because you've got everything in one package and it makes it easier to market. But packages aren't always the best way to sell things, and this is why we test and experiment. I started the incubator as a single tier, all-inclusive program. Then I started adding things and made it more cafeteria pick and choose. You know, I'm doing away with packages, whatever, so that I could increase the price. But some of the things that I added didn't get good uptake, so the price really didn't go up. And then I tested splitting it into three tiers so that we could enroll more people at a lower price point and still serve our pay-for-results clients with an a la carte program. But we never got uptake in all three tiers, just the first tier and the top tier. And that's why we're getting rid of that middle tier. We're also doing away with the smorgasbord, and we're going back to offering a standard package with standard pricing. In our case, the cafeteria plan made it harder, not easier, for our clients to say yes, because every element that they added changed the rates. Now, we go back to the original. Everybody pays the same rate, gets the same benefits, and it's designed to help them get exactly what they need, exactly when they need it. Sometimes scaling back is the answer to charging more. Do you remember when tuna fish came in a 6-ounce can? I know, I'm talking about tuna fish. What? If you look closely as I record this, tuna now comes in a 5-ounce can, and the price is still about the same. So if you offer hour-long sessions as a coach or a private music instructor, you might want to keep your prices the same and offer a 45 or a 50-minute session instead of 60 minutes. Or offer a half-hour session for slightly more than half of your hour-long rate. So if you charge $100 an hour, maybe offer 30 minutes for $60 or $55 or something like that. You've got the magic paintbrush here. You get to decide how things are done. Just because it hasn't been done that way in the past doesn't mean you can't be the first to do it. Really get clear on what you need to be successful and to feel good about the work that you're doing. Those two pieces work together. They're both important. You need to feel successful. You need to feel good about the work you're doing. You need to be making the money that serves you. Otherwise, you're resentful and you don't want to work with people anymore. You get burned out. That's where burnout comes from. The reward isn't there and you're tired of it and you want to move on. And this is where we get into that mindset piece a little bit. You know, I get that it can feel scary to raise your prices. This is how fear works. It's not scary to actually raise your rates. You just make a decision and it's done. It's the potential consequences of that price increase that are scary. What if I love all my clients, but some of them decide to leave because they don't like this new pricing? Or what if nobody buys at my new rates? Right? This is how fear wins. Because the truth is that sometimes a client will leave because they're not willing or able to pay your new rates anymore. Sometimes you raise your rates and nobody buys at that rate for a while. That is truth. That does happen. But fear takes that truth and spins a big old web of lies around it. Things like, nobody will ever pay that rate. Nobody will ever pay me $300 an hour. Nobody will ever pay me $10,000 for a weekend. Nobody will ever pay me. False. Everyone will think I'm greedy for raising my rates. False. And on and on and on. Fear takes that tiny little thing that is true and entraps you in a web of lies that feel true until someone does finally come along and buy from you. And here's the thing. As much as you love some clients, they will leave you at some point. You can't get too attached. And I have plenty of clients who become friends and friends who have become clients. And when it's time for them to graduate or move on, I tell them, I don't want to be their crutch. Likewise with my music. I have an audience of fans that like the work I'm doing now, and if I change my style, as much as I love seeing them at shows, they're probably not going to keep showing up or buying my music. That's the nature of business. It's not that they hate me. They just aren't a good fit for what I offer. I am not a big fan of Shania Twain. There are some songs I will buy and the rest I will leave behind. That is business, and the same is true for you. So instead of focusing on who you're going to lose, open your eyes and your heart to all those new folks who are going to love you for exactly who you are and what you offer now, who will gladly pay your new rates. As a creative entrepreneur, it is a given that you are talented, unique, and passionate about the offers that you're creating. And money mindset issues often pop up for my clients once we start working on pricing, which is a key piece to growing their business so that they can stop spinning on the hamster wheel of hustle. In fact, I've got an upcoming episode about the top money mindset issues for creative types. So, you know, make sure you're subscribed and turn on those notifications so that you can be in the loop for that episode when it drops. And take the quiz if you haven't already to figure out what your type is so that you'll know what the money mindset issues are that go with your type. But for now, let me leave you with this. You've got to believe in your services. Like, believe in who you are and what you're bringing to the table. Because if you don't, who will? Why should anybody else? If you believe you are just as good, if not better, than other folks who are charging more than you are right now, then it's important that you position yourself and your prices to reflect that value. You are creating amazing work that deserves the appropriate compensation as a business owner, not just an employee. And that means being paid in such a way that all your company expenses are covered and you get to pay yourself a living wage that meets your lifestyle needs, whatever those are. And it's going to be different for everybody. That's your enoughness number. And that enoughness number becomes the driving force behind your pricing. Lastly, let me invite you to present your price increases with ease. It is not a big deal when rates go up. Everybody does it. It happens all the time. And you're probably overdue anyways. Give them a fair warning for sure. But it doesn't need to be hypey or stress-inducing for you or them. Your right people will get it. Your raving fans might even applaud you and say, it's about time. Don't laugh. It's happened to more than one client I've worked with. The Creative Freedom Show exists because you keep listening. So, you know, thanks and stuff. Your ideas and questions keep us firing on all four cylinders. So if you've got an episode idea or a question you'd like us to cover, or maybe something I didn't go into enough depth on and you're like, tell me more, then hit me up. And if you're a longtime listener, tell us why you're a fan. You might just be featured in a future episode, but don't let this scare you away. We'll also keep your feedback anonymous. Next week, we're going to focus in on profitability, how to make sure you're putting more profit in your pocket without having to do more. So I sure hope we'll see you there. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you end the hustle, unleash your star power, and own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.